A perfect day to drink some wine. Snuggled up on your sofa, pop open that bottle of red or white, put on your favorite music, plan your Valentine's Day, like we all are, at least the guys are. It's not kind of unfair that it's just the guys that do most of the planning, quite honestly. I think I want to be wine and dine this year. How about that? Joining me in studio, we were going to talk about healthy sports and living here, but we're switching gears. We're going to talk wine first and then reverse it. So first we'll get a little buzz going, then we'll talk about how to get healthy. Joining me and helping me do that is Christine Heller from Linfrint Winery. I'm so excited, Christina, because you brought wine and you're here.
Thank you.
This is very, very cool. Tell us about Linfrint.
Linfrint Winery, we have been around for 39 years this year. We are the oldest and largest family-owned winery in the state of Illinois.
You grow here as well?
We do not grow here. We are what you'd call an urban winery. So we produce all of our wine there. We bring the grapes to us, and we produce about 100,000 gallons a year right in Roselle.
Oh, my gosh. Is it like the big barrels and you stomp on them with your feet, that kind of thing?
You're allowed to stomp on the grapes one time a year, and that's at our annual Oktoberfest.
So you do that?
We do it once a year, but we don't make wine out of that. So we actually have beautiful crushers and a big press, and we have stainless steel vats where we do all of, in our fermentation room.
Sure.
We have a barrel room. We have about 1,000 oak barrels.
So you're bringing that wine fabulous country experience to Chicagoland.
To suburban Chicago, yeah.
That's awesome.
It's pretty cool.
So you brought some samples here. First of all, I got to ask you, what's your preference? You're a wine girl.
It depends on the day.
Okay, so it's Sunday afternoon. What's a Sunday afternoon wine
Sparkling
for you?
Rosé.
Oh, okay. Let's try that.
I love bubbles. So what I did today, I wanted to kind of feature some of the different wines from regions that we have a bed and breakfast at the winery. So
cool.
I brought wines from every region. So we have a French, Italian, German, and American suite. So I brought a French style, a German, an Italian, and American style.
Which one's the Italian?
The Italian, I brought the Sangiovese. Sangiovese is your primary grape in Chianti.
Let's start there.
Awesome.
Not because I'm biased in Italian, but because I like reds.
Well, Sangiovese is your primary grape in Chianti, and I love this because Sangiovese is really fruit forward. It's very easy to drink.
Yeah.
It goes great with Chicago pizza. I love it for every day. This is a perfect sitting by your fire
delicious
wine. Isn't it nice?
And is it served cool, or is
it's
it just because
cool
it's cold outside?
It's cold outside in my car.
It's actually
car
pretty good, a little chill. A little chill.
So Americans tend to serve their red wines too warm most of the time. When you serve wine, red wine should really be 65 degrees. And that term room temperature came from Europe, because in Europe, room temperature is 65 degrees.
Oh.
But, you come here and it's 75.
Sure.
So for
our average house temperature is 70 something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's why a lot of people think red wines taste bitter, because when they're too warm, you taste them in the back of your throat, and that's where you pick up the bitter.
Sure.
So
this is fantastic.
It's a little more chilled than it should be. But about 65 is a perfect temperature.
And let me see the label here.
Absolutely. So Linfred is the combination of Lin and Fred Kohler. And they were just this crazy, fun couple that he ran country clubs, she made wine. And he came from a German immigrant that made wine in Germany and just decided to keep that legacy going. And just out there in suburban Chicago, he decided to make this winery. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Are they still around?
They both have passed. And it's ran by, we call it the Linfrid family. Now it's still owned by the family. And we just keep on going. We have the bed and breakfast. We make fresh bread every day.
How does the bed and breakfast work? Talk to me about how, because I love the idea of a bed and breakfast.
It's spectacular. The bed and breakfast is the four suites. They're all exquisitely done. They are
four suites, you said?
Four suites.
Where is that located? Is it on the premise?
They're actually on premise, and we have this glass floor walkway that you walk down.
Oh, cool.
And you can see down into the fermentation room. So you're staying up above the fermentation room. And so there's just four at the end, and there's German, Italian, American, and French. We spent about $250,000 per suite just decorating them. They are what you'd call a five diamond experience.
Really?
Yeah, when you stay, you get cheese, chocolate, especially if you have young kids, the majority of people that stay with us.
I was just going to ask you, is it family friendly? Because I got two young kids. We're always looking for staycations.
Oh, so it's perfect to leave your kids at your parents' house and and come stay the night. But we do have a lot of people bring their kids just to the winery to visit.
Sure.
But the bed and breakfast is 21 and over only.
It is,
but
okay.
It's a great way to feel like you are in Napa, or that you're in Paris, and just be in Roselle, and
So for an evening experience, though, because my in-laws don't watch kids, my parents live in Florida,
right.
So We do like to, you know, go out and experience things. I mean, is there a restaurant on premise as well?
We don't have a restaurant, but we do lots of pairings. So, for instance, this Wednesday night on Valentine's Day, I am teaching a truffle and wine pairing, and we're using Catherine Ann chocolates, which she's very famous here in
Chicago. You got a rough job, let me just tell you.
I have the hardest job in the world.
I feel bad for you, actually.
And we're pairing up. We're actually going to pair up a Sangiovese, and we're going to do the whole truffle. So we have a lot of fun.
This is great,
classes.
By the way.
Thank you.
I preferably drink red wine.
Uh-huh.
I like that it's not too sweet. Mm-hmm. There's not a hard bite to it.
Awesome.
And it's a great balance.
And thank you. That's to me, that is the best compliment you could ever give a winemaker.
Sure.
Our winemakers, they're both from Chile.
Oh, yeah.
And they tend to make a lot of fruit-forward wines.
Yes.
I think that's being from, you
With
know,
that said,
Latin
it's sweet
America.
Enough. Without overwhelming you.
Right. So most of the time, like our Cabernets are going to be about 0.2 residual sugar, whereas this is about 0.4, 0.5. It's still in the dry spectrum. Anything under 0.8 is dry. But it doesn't have a lot of heavy tannins to it. It's just easy to drink.
Tannins, the headache stuff? Is that what
that is? That's what a lot of people say, yeah. It comes from the skins of the grapes. That's mm-hmm. where it's actually a preservative. So over time, like that's why people love older red wines,
yes.
because the tannins soften. And they get easier. Whereas this Sangiovese, I mean, this is a 2013 vintage, and it's ready to drink now.
Sulfur's the other culprit, they say.
You know, those are just natural. You know what a lot of people call sulfites. That's what sulfites, they complain about, are sulfites.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's actually more sulfites in a bag of packaged lettuce than there is in a bottle of wine.
Really?
Yeah.
Fascinating.
I always say that you're safer drinking a glass of wine than you are having a salad.
Right. So if you're stuck on a desert somewhere and you had a salad in a bottle of wine.
Have the wine.
Yeah. You might not get a headache then.
Exactly.
All right, so let's talk about some of your whites here. And as you're doing that, the you know, with the romantic holiday coming up on Wednesday, do you guys do a tasting that night?
We do tastings every day.
Every day.
So, and that's, again, you know, family friendly. We are very family friendly. And a lot of people bring their kids in. We do tastings. You can do, this week, we're actually doing truffle and wine pairings during the weekdays.
Chocolate truffles?
Chocolate truffles.
Wow.
Yes. Oh, I like the regular truffles, too.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah. That'd be nice, a little salty something.
And, oh, my gosh, yes.
So what am I drinking here?
This is Gewürztraminer. Gewürztraminer.
Who's a what?
Gewürztraminer. Girls are meaner. Gewürztraminer. That's how I always remember to say it. Gewürztraminer. A lot of people think it's German. Gewürz means spicy in German. And Traminer is actually the name of the grape that comes from Italy. And I know that you've said in the past that you like fruity wines.
I do, yeah.
And this one, we probably should have had this before the Sangiovese, but this Gewürztraminer, what I love about them, they're known for being floral, and they're very pretty and light and kind of spicy.
Pam just said this is her wine. Is that what you just said, Pam?
Oh, yeah. This is all me right here.
Awesome.
We're going to send you up a glass.
Connoisseur. I'm a top shelf tequila drinker.
Me too. I love you.
Peace Porter and Gewürztraminer.
Oh, I'm so excited. Well, I'll leave this for you.
Yes, that's yours, Pam. It's your lucky day.
I'm having enough trouble as it is.
Hey, this might make things better, Pam.
This might. People will say, oh, you were so smooth.
You were so smooth.
Sometime, you know, after 2 o'clock.
Well, knowing you're a tequila, top shelf tequila drinker, you and I got some talking to do.
Yes, we do.
Some drinking to do.
Invite. Yes.
Exactly. I'll work on that.
Awesome. Tequila Tuesday and Wine Wednesday.
There you go. Exactly.
You go. That has
I love
promise.
It. This is so good.
So Gewürztraminer is one of your four aromatic varietals. So there's Riesling, Viognier, Gewürztraminer, and Muscat.
Which I like Riesling.
Yes. Yeah. And so they're all kind of in that same family. They have that little spicy sweet to them. They can be made dry. They can be made sweet. A lot of people tend to think that they're only made sweet. This is about 1.5 residual sugar. So it's just kind of off dry.
Do you guys add sugar or do you find sweeter grapes?
You find sweeter grapes. And it's actually called Brix, B-R-I-X. That's the sugar content of the grape. When they're picked. And so the higher the sugar content of the grapes, the higher likelihood of having higher alcohol or higher sugared wine.
We have a great guest in studio who knows a heck of a lot of wine. Christina Heller is here from Linford Winery in Roselle and many other locations. And we'll open up the phone lines now. If you winos out there want to call in and talk about wine, 312-981-7200. I'm joking. Wine lovers is the proper terminology. We were talking off air about the wine club over at Linfred. Why don't you tell me about that? Because I think I might become a member.
Oh, you should. We've had our wine club since 1985, and we have we started with like 500 charter members, and we just grew and grew. And we have red wine club, white wine club. We even have a dessert wine club that features port wines and sparkling wines.
My wife loves port.
Oh, we make a beautiful Ruby Reserve, and it's made with the Sangiovese, the first wine that
we had
today.
Which I like, yes.
And it's made with the Sangiovese, and it's just rich and beautiful with chocolates.
Mm, anything with chocolates, but yeah, a nice red like that would be great. Is it heavy, syrupy?
Yeah, it's pretty full-bodied, but we don't make ours super sweet. It's about 18 residual sugar, which is sweet. It's very sweet, but it's so balanced. That's the whole thing in wine is you have to have a really nice balance between sweet and sugar and acidity.
And I feel like port is one of those areas where it could get sticky, no pun intended.
Can. Yeah. Literally. Yeah, it can, but the Ruby Reserve with that Sangiovese just has a really nice, soft way about it.
Okay, folks, if you have any wine questions, 312-981-7200. We have an expert here, Christina Heller. We'll answer any of your questions or talk about your favorite wines out there. Are you a red person, a white person, a Cabernet type of person, or Chianti? What do you just opened up a new one.
I did. This is my favorite wine that we sell around Chicagoland. This is our Vindy City Red. And
Vindy as in V-I-N. Vindy.
As in Windy City.
Windy City.
And Vindy. And so this is Cabernet Merlot Syrah blend. And
so it's a mix of the three?
It's a mix. And it's actually about five different grapes in there. And we sell this all over Chicagoland. This is, again, a very fruit-forward, easy to drink. We retail this for $11 a bottle. It sells...
This is great.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
This is another
super
one.
Super light.
Like, yeah. We love this with Italian beef. You could have it with a hot, like a Portillo's hot dog.
Sure.
It's just one of those that we sell it in like Whole Foods and Binney's, Mariano's.
And it's American Red Table wine.
Yeah.
It's one of those wines that you could keep drinking and forget that you're drinking it.
You can drink it on a weeknight and you don't feel guilty for opening it.
And you probably won't wake up with a hangover.
That's right.
How did you get into the culture of wine?
You know, I had moved to Chicago and from Texas. I'm a Southern girl, Texan girl. And I moved up here and I had actually was working in another... a whole other genre. And I met Fred Kohler from Linfred Winery, and I just fell in love with it. And he happened to have a marketing position open. And so I took it, and I've been there for, this is my 18th year.
You had a passion for wine before all this?
I did. Yeah. I've always liked wine. You know, granted, in college, it started in a very easy way.
Right. As a taster. You were tasting a lot.
I was a taster, yeah. But, you know, I love hospitality, and I really love making people feel comfortable and being educated. I think when people feel educated, they're happy. And for many years, wine was kind of a snobby thing.
I was just going to ask you about that, because it is a culture amongst itself.
It is.
And it does have a stigma of being, you know, for the collectors out there. Mm-hmm. You know, people with the wine cellars and you know, that type of living, you know, it has an air to it. Mm-hmm. But I feel like lately it's been kind of mainstreamed a little bit.
It has. And I hope that I've been part of that. What we have really tried to do is bring wine to the everyday person. You used to go to a restaurant and they would come out with a wine list that was like a huge book.
Sure.
And it was so daunting and scary. You didn't know what to order. And you'd either order something too expensive, or you just didn't know what you were doing. And, you know, I think the...
Well, people usually shoot for the most expensive one because they think it's going to taste the best.
Right. And, you know, it all comes down to finding the right pairings with food. And Charlie Trotter was a great, great supporter of Linfred. And he was one of the first local chefs to really bring in a local winery and really kind of get away from the, you don't just have to have French wine. You don't just have to have wine from Napa. There's good wine made anywhere. And kind of bringing in almost a beer kind of culture to it, like pairing it with
that's a great example.
Simple food, right?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you can go to a craft brewery and it's just so laid back and easy, and that's what we're trying to do in wine today.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely working.
Awesome.
Whatever you guys are doing. And you do this wine club where you are you still doing the tour where you take people on a plane and bring them?
Yeah, we do trips every now and then. I was mentioned during the break, I think it was 3 years ago, we took a group, 50 people of our wine club members signed up, and we went to Spain, France, Italy, Croatia, and Montenegro. And it was
over the course of how long?
I think it was about 15, 16 days.
Oh, gosh,
and we
dreamy.
Brought Linfred wine. We brought a whole pallet of Linfred wine, and we had wine because we make over 100 different varieties of wine. We make Cabernet, Chardonnay, but then we also make
How big is your factory here?
We are about 24,000 square foot, wow. So it's not crazy huge, but we have these really amazing wines. We're making wines from all these different countries.
Yeah.
So while we were in Croatia, we were able to have Zinfandel because Zinfandel is originally from Croatia. We were able to have Linfred Zinfandel, and it's a great education piece for people.
Folks are texting in with some questions. If you have any questions out there, 312-981-7200. First question here is, once opened, how long does wine last?
That's a great question.
And does it depend on the type of wine?
It does. And it goes back to port. We were talking about port a little bit ago. So a regular wine, like your still table wines, really should be drank within 2 to 3 days. There's things like, you know, little things you can buy like suction. They suck the air out.
Yeah.
And they do help, you know, maybe about 3-5 days. I don't have that problem in my house, so it's not that big a deal.
Right. But like 3-5 hours.
3-5 hours is fine. Sparkling wines after that day, very honestly, the bubbles go away. Yeah. Port wines can stay open for quite a while. Port wines, once they're open, they're fine. I mean, you could have that for 6 weeks, 2 months, and you're fine.
You hear that, honey? After her first sip, she's like, we need a new bottle.
I think I like her.
Yeah, you would love her. Another question here is, in terms of the whites, I'm trying to interpret the question here.
Sure.
Is it Zinfandel versus Riesling? What are the key differences in like the different sweets whites?
As far as
notes and tones.
Oh, sure. So, every grape
has... I think that's what the question
is. I think, sure. So, every grape has its different flavor. So, Chardonnay is known for having a specific flavor. Sauvignon Blanc is known for tasting a very specific way. But it all depends on many different things, different factors. So, you could take a Chardonnay that's grown in, like, Lodi, California, for instance, and then you take a Chardonnay that's grown in Berrien Springs, Michigan, where we do get some of our grapes. And their grapes are going to be totally different because of the soil, because of the weather that's around them. It's known as the terroir, and it's also your winemaking styles. So each wine is going to be a little different.
So there's variables. Even though it might be a sweet wine, it's not all the same.
Exactly. So same thing, like everybody thinks Rieslings have to be made dry, or have to be made sweet. Rieslings can be made bone dry. They can be made all the way up to an ice wine.
Got it. Hangovers. Got a question about hangovers. Does any color matter for a wine hangover?
I think it comes down to the quality of wine, very honestly.
Oh, okay.
If you drink a good wine, I have to admit that I don't have hangovers when I drink Linfred wine. And I'm not just saying that. Yes, I'm the marketing director.
Sure, no.
But I'm not just saying that because it's very well made. Yeah. Now, Fred, when he was alive, used to always say, if you get a hangover, it's your own damn fault.
Because
drank too much or you drank cheap wine.
And about just in terms of getting that buzz, that wine buzz, 2 to 3 glasses on average? Or it depends personally on...
Personally.
I don't know. We got a galley over here that's saying 10, 5, tolerance, huh?
It depends on a lot of things. It depends on your
how
weight.
How much you ate.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much for coming in and spreading some wine knowledge.
So
we appreciate
welcome.
It. It was a blast. Christina Heller from Linfred Winery. Why don't you give the website and location one more time?
LinfredWinery.com. We're on Instagram and Facebook, and we're at 15 South Roselle Road in Roselle.
Sweet. I'll be seeing you. I'm going to come check that Roselle location out, and maybe I could take my wife out if we get a babysitter. Oh, you had before I let you go, you did have a tip, because at the top of the show my wife called in. We're talking about how to restore some romance during when you have young kids and during these holidays. Any suggestions? Because we're not going to have a babysitter. So.
Well, no, if you're going to be at home, my best thing, cook dinner together. I think anytime you do something like that together, have a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
I think as long as you make time to do something together, and wine always helps.
Kids can't drink wine, right?
No.
Okay. Damn, sorry. Just kidding, everybody. Not in the U.S., Dave. That's right, actually. Good point. Although when I was, in our culture, in my Italian culture, when we were little, our parents would let us drink some wine, like not get drunk, but they'd be like, oh, here, so I can taste this.
I grew up having wine at holidays with my parents.
I had espresso when I was 6. I mean, I don't know. It's a cultural thing.
And you came out normal.
I'm kind of
normal. For the most part.
Yeah, I'm kind of normal. Anyway, thanks so much, Christina. It's a lot of fun. We'll have to have you back around the holidays, too, to talk about some holiday-specific wines.
Would love that.
All right, folks, our next guests are in studio. You've met one, you met both of them, but one kind of. Edna Jacqueline Vasquez is in studio. Her husband, Jeffrey Lung, is here. They're the co-owners of Vive. Vive, vive. I should just say it like an Italian. Vive.
Vive healthy.
Exactly. It's a new, what is it? A health facility, a sports nutrition center. To tell us about what it is. Vive healthy.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for having us again and here with this beautiful time. We are Vive Healthy, Jeff Long, my husband, and I, Edna, as an ultramarathoner, and Jeff as a boxer. We created Vive Healthy. Vive Healthy is a fitness studio created with a mission to build a strong community based off physical activity and lifestyle education. So we are a fitness studio, and also we incorporated almost 1,000 square feet with some equipment, which is treadmill, weight, and also the boxing style equipment that we have over there. As well, also, we have our mission with workshops.
And if you remember Edna, just to quickly recap here, Edna was on her show a few months ago where she recently had completed the Desert Marathon, right? Yeah.
Four deserts.
Four deserts. She ran across four deserts. How long did it take you?
Well, I started that race, this race in 2013. I completed that series in December of 2016. But per desert is 150 miles to across Chile, which is the Atacama, the most arid desert, Gobi in China, which is the more extreme, and Namibia, Africa, is the oldest desert in the world. And Antarctica, so which is the coldest desert, kind of like Chicago.
Crazy, yeah, kind of like Chicago right now, exactly. Yes. And Jeff, your background is in boxing. How long have you been boxing?
I've been boxing since 2010. Before that, I started running, and before that, I was really unhealthy.
I like the evolution there.
Yeah, I was fat, and I smoked. I smoked a pack and a half a day for 12 years.
Well, when you say fat, tell us what fat means for you.
For me, it was 180. 180 was as big as I got, and I fought at 139, and I'm fighting now at 147.
So you're still actively fighting, yeah?
Yeah. So, yeah.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'8".
5'8".
So I'm not super tall.
No, but...
But I hold it well.
What's your aspirations in boxing?
Well, I got into boxing as a way to cross train for the ultra marathons that I was doing because I was running a lot, way more than I probably should have been.
You kept your cardio up. So you got to go. How many rounds you got to go?
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, my cardio is great when I get in the ring with other guys who don't run so much.
Sure.
But I got into boxing. I found that it was a great way to keep my whole body in shape without putting all the miles on my bones.
Yeah.
And I've been competing around the city. We've gone to other areas as well, but it's one thing like running. It keeps you in the moment.
Yeah.
When someone's trying to hit you in the face, you're really aware of what's going on around you. So.
Nobody wants to get punched in the face. I used to box too. I'd love to get back into it, but that's been a year or two.
Cool.
But I did it for 6 years, and I love boxing. It's the training aspect of
just
it.
Just the training. You don't even have to get in a ring and fight. As my wife knows, sometimes she spars me. She hits me. I don't hit her back.
You know that?
Yeah. Listen, I could tell. I wouldn't want to mess with you.
Yeah.
At the fence, I have very good jabs.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. Now, you guys met. Because we're kind of doing a little romance theme here,
right?
And I kind of tease the idea of when you work out with your partner, you know your relationship's better, and it also releases those kind of hormones that induce romance.
Yeah,
is that true?
Yeah. Yes.
Hey, now, did you hear that?
Yes.
She just perked up. She's like, yeah.
Well, we met running in a running club, and one day she finally let me catch her.
Right? Oh my
she was
God!
Like, no, I'm kidding.
You're like chasing her right hard, right?
But miles, because I'm run more long distances than the spring races. And I think one of the elements that I can put like an input in here is what makes us attractive in our relation. It was for me, the aspect is take care, like caring.
Caring about your body, yourself.
But also by ourselves, to be safe, and running is many elements that are around. It's not just only run, especially in ultramarathons. Somebody has to be aware of you, and also somebody has to take care. And I think that was the main ingredient that I'm seeing and attract me.
So he nurtured you and supported you.
Right.
running by you.
In ultra marathons, a lot of times, especially in the 100-mile race, you have a pacer, someone who takes care of you in the second half and kind of watches, make sure you're eating and not falling asleep
sure.
and taking care of your body. So I paced her many times, and she's paced me as well.
Who can win in a race between you two?
We finish hand in hand.
That's yes. Smart answer. See, this is good relationship yes, advice here.
Exactly. We one 100-mile race we ran together was, we were so intense, so into it, we barely said one word to each other.
Do you guys, I was going to ask you, do you guys talk and chat a lot while you're running?
Not really. No.
I think one of the elements that I can say now for Valentine's Day, it's important also learn to share the silence, but in a good way.
Good
because
point.
The silence is powerful element. If you use in the right way or in another way. But I think in the right way, it is very helpful.
Sometimes in relationships, silence, you start assuming things.
Right.
Because you're not communicating. So you're like, well, what are they thinking about? Are they? Is there something bad? Did I do something? Is there something bad? You know, so you really got to be confident in yourself.
Because, yes, after silence is coming the compassion. As a runner, we understand that we are, you know, running in the
well,
heart.
It's meditative for you, right?
Right. And then right there in this particular moment, we came to be very compassionate with each other, the silence, and we have a lot of solidarity.
Yeah.
Which is in the moment we help each other. And I think this is kind of like the values or the elements that we should practice more and more in our society, which is going to help us to others, not just only in partners. And I think that's one of the elements that I can share with Jeff. And those elements bring a strong love that I can say, but as well as helping to growth.
Sure.
So that's what I do believe, that Viva Healthy is not just only for running, or it's not just only for boxing. It's the way that I care, that I care Jeff to reach his goals, to reach his dream, but as well cooking well, you know, mm-hmm. for his nutrition.
Because you guys do offer nutrition counseling as well with
right.
your programs. I mean, I'm looking at here, you guys do champ cardio boxing, glutes to salute.
Glutes that salute.
All right.
Popular class.
Listen, we're talking about romance, so might as well talk about the glutes that salute. What yes. is that?
An ingredient.
That's a class taught by Michelle Atkins. Where it focuses on the glute medius, glute maximus, hamstrings, all those things you like to sing, you know, on the backside.
Right, so, exactly.
It's very popular. And you don't have to be a female either. I mean, guys take the class. I mean, it's really good if you're a runner or a
sure.
cyclist, too.
Listen, just because you're a guy doesn't mean you don't need tight glutes.
No, you need it. Yeah, especially when people sit all day. They have
yeah.
they tend to have weak glutes, weak core. So we try to strengthen you up in that class.
That's great. And then you guys do boot camps, yoga. Zumba. You also address the seniors as well.
Yes. We're trying to incorporate senior citizens, get them to move. We notice in the neighborhood where we are in Pilsen, you see a lot of elderly folks walking up and down the street by themselves.
Yeah.
And we'd like to find a place where they can come together and move together.
The Frank Fontana Show. It's life improvement.
You can count on me like 1, 2, 3.
Thanks for hanging out with us today. We're here every Sunday from 1 to 3 o'clock. You can visit me online at frankfontana.net or on Instagram, Facebook. We do a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, and you can see the live streams of the show up on there as well. Right now, we're talking about being in love and being healthy in love. And, you know, this situation we have in front of us right now with the owners of Vivi Health, really cool stuff. And now they decided to open up a gym together,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
And being in a relationship is one thing. Running a marathon together, another thing. Opening a business together in a relationship, mm-hmm. very you're adding a lot of layers to your life here. How has it been doing that between the two of you?
Well, it's been a long
say the right
journey.
Thing, say
yes,
the right
I'm thing. Thinking very. I'm trying to think about what I'm going to say before I say it.
Smart man.
The thing that I think we have going for us is that my wife she's a businesswoman. She has an MBA.
Yeah.
She's very good at organizing things. She's good at managing people. And I'm good at training people. I'm
yeah.
good at programming. I'm good at creating classes. I'm good at listening to people as a trainer and finding out what they want to do and how I can get them to get where they want to be. So we have lanes that we try to stay in. And for the most
that's
part...
That's a secret right yeah, there, right? Stay in your lane.
Yeah, stay right. in your lane. And then when I creep over into her lane, I get the elbow.
You know.
And I know that I need
lane.
To get out of her lane.
Yeah, I feel like you'd be probably... how do I say this without getting punched? probably the one that stays in your lane a little bit more, right?
Well, you'd be surprised. I get in her lane more than I... And the only reason is because before we opened this business, I had my own personal training business. And that's all it was, just personal training. And I learned how to manage it myself.
Sure.
And I'm used to doing everything myself.
Oh, yeah.
And
but you might have a little opinion. Right?
Yes. And now that I have a business partner, I have to remind myself that I don't have to do it all. And my instinct is to do it all.
Sure.
So I really have to, you know, smack myself in the head
balance,
a little bit.
Right?
So
or she'll smack it for
she
you.
She does it for
right,
me.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, and in a nice way, most of
now,
the time.
Now, what's your take on this?
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for this good introduction. Yes, I think for me, I do believe what Jeff say and explain. The more important is accept that both we have skills, that both we have our own leadership, our own elements that we can compete, but not each other outside, and how we can complement our abilities and our skills to make things happen. In this particular case, when Viva Healthy started, we build in or we construct, we draw this particular model, you know, based of his ability, based of what I do, which is part of my education and business, but as well as a runner.
What were you doing before you opened the gym?
I used to work for 12 years in the food industry. Mm-hmm. So I work and operated in operations and run business. In this particular process, I learned how to manage other departments. So when we just came with this, like I say, with this Viva Healthy, Jeff and I, we were very clear what we can do in better. Him for the iron long business with what was what he managed before, and for me the way that I can construct and building a business. But as well, I just keep saying about runner, the passion of the sport, the sport, the love that I have for help others to improve their lives, and I respect so much him and the way that he's one created, and the way that you say this input is better. And I say, okay, so give me these skills, give me this information, and let me put this particular ingredient in all the model.
Got it.
And that is true.
Yep.
You know, he gave me the opportunity to do it my way, and I don't jump in his way. But when we have differences, it's very important.
Let's talk about that. Conflict resolution in the
of
relationship.
Course. And then it's in different scenarios.
Yes. Well, let's talk about, let's say, one scenario. Like, how do you guys deal with conflict resolution within the business environment and then separate that from the home? Like, say something happens at work at the gym. Are you calling it a gym, like, or is it more of a health facility?
We
like
call it fitness a fitness studio,
fitness
because
studio,
we're about 3,000 square feet, so
it's a big
little
place.
Smaller. Yeah, yes. I mean, and we aren't open. We have the second building isn't open yet, so it'll be open in the spring. We're hoping. So right now we're just calling it a studio.
Growing it.
Yeah.
All right. So say there's a conflict at the office.
Well, one of the things that I just pay attention, number one, is listen. I think in our society is the best element is listen. If we have that conflict, not just only Jeff and I, if it's another people involved, we have to listen clear what is the concern.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
After we listen clear, the only thing is if I can, at this moment, to dissolve, I give, you know, my input and my skills in the moment. Jeff, he respect the decision that I take if it's other parties involved. If we don't have the answer by this moment, I just always say, you know, let me just evaluate the situation and we will back with you.
Give you some time.
Right. Yes. And then in this particular moment, Jeff and I, we find the time and we discuss outside of the environment.
Yeah.
That's number
let
one.
Let it breathe a little bit and then get back to it.
But right. I think it's the main element that we have is listen.
Yes.
Then respect each other. When if he has an input for this situation, I have to step back.
Right.
And then if he says something and I'm not agreeing in the moment, we'll just say, let me just review, and when we have a particular answer, we will just come back and
how do you find out. Channel your Latino fire?
Imagine.
She lets it go.
Fire away.
No, yes. I think I consider it that I have a high level of patience.
That's good.
I put in the side emotions.
Sure.
When I have to take a decision, I just put in the side emotions and I focus in the moment.
Do you think your running has helped that?
A lot. Yeah. A lot.
Because when you're running in the middle of a desert, I mean, you got to really have your mind right.
Yeah.
You know. And that's at the beginning of this conversation, I say the silence is the main weapon for me to have the passion, but as well to listen very clear what happened and what people they try to say.
Sure.
And this is the situation, you know, in society, when and for this instance, between Jeff and I, is we have to make clear and we have to understand what is our message.
Sure.
Are you telling me emotions or are you telling me thoughts?
Right.
So that's when we separate, and then later we just came and answered, you know, dissolving the situation. But one of the things that I can say to all our audience right now is make sure that your emotions are not speaking. And then if your emotions, they are speaking to you.
Stop talking.
Yes, because then
you get in trouble.
Right.
No,
so I think this is the main instrument that we use, Jeff and I, to dissolve issues or you know, difficult circumstances. And based on my Latino style, well, I think one of the things that I can say I have benefit is I practice a lot ultra running, and I run a lot. And, you know, my best...
That's your meditation, basically. It gives you the opportunity to detach from everything. The name is Vive, right?
Right.
V-I-V-E, healthy. Mm-hmm. Sports and nutrition, and it's located at 965 West 18th Street over in Pilsen. The phone number you can contact is 312-505-5442. And if somebody wants to just try it out, do you guys charge for the first day, or how does that work?
Yeah, come on in. Visit us. We'll try out a class, see what you like, see if you like it. You will. You'll love it.
Of course you will.
Because we'll get you moving.
Boxing is the best exercise ever, man. It's such a great release. I recommend it for anybody at any age. Not that you want to hit somebody, but to hit something sometimes feels so good.
Yes.
Feels so good.
It does.
And we're going to put our link. We're going to put a link for their website. It's up right now. If you go to WGNradio.com/Frank Fontana or just check on the WGN page, you will see the link. And the website is VIVEHealthySport.com. Guys, thank you so much. Have yourselves a great Valentine's Day on Wednesday.
Thank you so much. And
we'll look forward to having you back.
Of course. Vive healthy and vive with love. Of course.
That's it.